Welcome and thank you for listening to our Sunday broadcast. Join us as we receive from the incorruptible seed of the Word of God today from Pastor Robert Jackson of Word of Faith Worship Center in Concord, North Carolina.
All right. Thing. I'm not going to give you all of it. I want to remind to start with, we could just pass the plate right now and get just as much money as after we do this, but I know in this church I've appreciated it that I remember back to Scott Gray receiving an offering, and remind ourselves the principle, the kingdom principles of what we're doing here, and rather than just plunk it in the plate. And, of course, it's like I've said about people praying. Sometimes people pray, and they think they got to pray so long and so hard, and they pray themselves into faith, and they keep on praying until they pray themselves right out of faith again. My mama, who would be tomorrow, would have been 105 tomorrow. She told me something when I was little, I never forgot it. There was an old man from Pekin whose nose was so long and so thin, they said if he'd pray in the temple each day that his nose by degrees would grow in. Well, he prayed with such fervent mind he forgot to notice the time in the middle of the night his nose was just right in the morning it stuck out behind. And I felt like that was important. Y'all know that today. But anyway, I'll just remind you, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that said Jesus said, seek first. Number one in priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, all that stuff you were needing. He said the Gentiles are worried about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, in other words, they're worried about their money. He said, make your number one priority to find out how the kingdom of God works. Our God's way of doing things, and all this stuff will show up and work for you. In the first chapter of Genesis, I better turn this thing up this way because I see it better that way. Come on. There you go. In the first chapter of Genesis, there we go. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so first we see the laws of the kingdom as we start in on the very first page of the Bible. He's revealing the laws of the kingdom. And the first thing he said was, God is the creator. And then verse 3, it said, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then it goes on down and everything else he said. When he said it, it happened. Second law of the kingdom is that the creative power of God is released in the spoken word of God. I said spoken word of God. That's rhema in the Greek. Not just you thinking about it, not just you reading it. I find that when I really need something, if I read it to myself out loud, it works better. Because it's what is happening is I'm sowing seeds in my own heart a lot of times when I'm speaking. And then in verse, the second law is God, the creative power of God is released in the spoken word of God. And the third law is right here in Genesis chapter 1, also in verse 11. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. Everything that God put in the garden, he put seed in it. Why? What was the seed for? God said, Adam, I'm going to give you your first year's crop, but if you want to eat anything next year, you're going to have to plant some stuff. And then over in chapter 2, I'm just flipping through here a little bit. In verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. To work it and to keep it. That word work it, I looked it up in the interlinear Hebrew and English last night. It means to tend, to cultivate, to dress, and then also to keep it means to keep or watch or observe. And has anybody maybe ever planted your garden and you failed to take care of it like you should have? How'd that turn out? You know, I'm going to plant the seed, but you got to keep it and you got to work it. And then let me double click this thing. Come on here, man. It don't work right laying down. Give me a second. We're good. And then I'm going to take you to another garden. That was a garden that Adam was in. And you know, in Mark chapter 4, and I'll do my best not to preach an hour on this couple of scriptures right here. I'll be brief. So Jesus was out by the seaside, and it says that a large crowd gathered about him, and he got into a boat, and he sat in a sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, and y'all know this story. He said, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, I got a new revelation about this last night looking at it. When I have taught on this scripture probably more than anything else I ever have taught on, and I've always kind of seen it like these four soils was four different farmers. It was the same farmer. A sower went out to sow, and it's some of his seed he planted by the side of the road. That didn't work. Because why? It's laying right there on the surface just about, and the birds came along, and we find out when we read the explanation, those birds is that bird, the devil. It came with persecution and affliction to get the word away from him. And then the other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched. Another seed fell among thorns. I'm going fast because y'all know this. Other seed fell into briars and thorns. But some of the seed fell on good soil. And some of it yielded 30 or 60 or 100. Well, that's a whole lot better than nothing. In fact, 100's a good goal. But this fella was the same sower. The only difference was where he was putting his seed. And so with Adam in the garden, or a sower in a garden, we're reading about right here. What it's about is discovering the secret or the mystery of the kingdom. How does the kingdom work? What's God's way of doing things? Involved in everything about what I'm trying to get. If I'm needing healing, I need to find out, how did God say to get this to work? Now, the way you find out God's way of doing things, I would hold up my Bible, but this thing here is... You know why I did this? It's easy because I got two different Bible apps I'm looking at, so I double click and I can go to this one and go back to that one. So see, got to work with technology a little bit. But with Adam in the garden, or that sower we're talking about in the garden, it's all about discovering the secret of how to get this seed to work best. Or I would say it's all about learning the secret of God's way of doing things, or how the kingdom works, right? And so we've discovered some things about that and God's way of doing it. There's three things involved in everything we do. This seed principle right here, the garden and the seed, is the secret of how everything works all through the whole Bible. It's got to do with your soul salvation. You have to do it God's way, you know? I was going to try not to tell too many stories, but people can get too complicated. It's the simple gospel is what it is. Believe it, receive it. I had Wanda laughing. It's not hard to get Wanda laughing. I am a blessed man. I married a laugher and she married a comedian. Man, God loves me. So this iPad froze up yesterday morning. I had a black screen with that little white circle going around doing like this. I couldn't get it to shut. It wouldn't shut off. It wouldn't turn on. It wouldn't do nothing. So I got on my phone and I got on Google and I looked up how to solve that problem. And I told Wanda all I had to do when I looked it up on Google, I said, it told me to blink both eyes six times. then shut one eye for 10 seconds and then go pull one leg off of a June bug. It wasn't quite that bad, but it was, sometimes it can lead you through all this stuff. What we need to do, we're getting ready to give into the offering. And we're going to do it in faith. And the other thing is, what was the thing about this farmer we read about? What kind of soil are you putting it in? And I believe that Word of Faith Worship Center is good soil. That's not the only good soil, but not only what comes in here and what the church does, but then the other ministries that this ministry blesses are all good soil. And so we can, this morning we can bring our offering, and we can put this thing in with faith, and then we can say, and you know, words are seed too. They're involved about speaking the word. It's important that I bring this here, but it's also important then that I speak out of my mouth. Now, I don't have to do this every day, every minute, every time, but it's important that I know and I say it with my mouth. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory. I have brought my tithes and offerings in the storehouse, and God is opening the windows of heaven for me and pouring me out a blessing I can't contain. And he's rebuking the devourer for my sake. I have given, it shall be given to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. See, I'm adding some seed to this money. There's two checks in this thing right here. I could go dig a little furrow, work it real good, put this in the ground, cover it up, water it. I'll never see a return because this check is not the seed. This check is me plowing the ground. And then that seed is when I begin to claim the blessings and the promises of God out of my mouth. Anybody excited wanting to give this morning? All right, how are we going to do it? Here come the ushers. Praise God. Thank you. Everybody stand up, if you will, for the offering.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Let's just stand up and worship the Lord over this offering. God's worthy. Amen.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send a fire. Your blood-bought gift, today we claim. Send a fire today. God of Elijah, hear our cry. Send us fit to live or die. Send the fire today to burn up every trace of sin, to bring the light and glory in. The revolution now begins.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these offerings, these seeds that came in. Lord, we just watered them with our praise, Father, and we thank you. We call in the harvest right now. Today is due season of what we sowed years ago, Lord, and we thank you for that perpetual seed, that perpetual harvest that we have, because Jesus lives forevermore. Amen. You can be seated. You know, as Jim shared that, as we were thinking, I just see God sent the greatest seed. He sent Jesus. He sent him from heaven's garden and planted him down here in the earth, because we had to. God had to have his harvest. He had to have his Christians, his family. So he sent his best seed. He sent Jesus. How do I understand it? I understand it because the word says, but at one time in my life, I didn't have revelation of that. And I was out mowing and weed eating, working at the Mooresville Housing Authority, which I was there for about 8 years. And those, I've probably shared this story before, but those little seeds, I call them helicopters. You see them from up there, they're the petal of some type of tree, the bloom. But when it gets dry, it falls off and it comes down like a little helicopter. Well, we mowed, and my job that day was, I had to blow the sidewalks off all the dirt and all those seeds. So I'm sitting there blowing this stuff out of the way, and I get a revelation. See, just like Jim preached about the seeds, some was on stony ground. Well, those seeds that's on the sidewalk, God was showing me those seeds ain't worth 2 cents. I mean, the seeds are, but not where they're not producing, because they're on the sidewalk. See, I was helping them. I was blowing them into the grass. Why? So they could get into the earth. God sent the Holy Ghost and had a blowing of his. See, God sent the fire. He sent the fire when he sent Jesus. But Jesus didn't. Jesus lived and grew and became. The word became flesh. And then he jumped in a body. He jumped in that body and dwelt among us. And then he had to leave that body in a grave for about 3 days. But he was coming back. Amen. What to finish what God started. The church. Amen. See, we're the harvest. And we got the seed. We got the word of God. It's the incorruptible seed. And we got to be machine guns for Jesus. We got to shoot them seeds out there. Some of them is going to get on the dirt, get in the hearts of men, but some of them will be rejected. That's not your assignment. Our assignment is to preach the word. Amen. To put it out there. With love. It ain't going to work if you don't love people with the word. Because I've heard others, I've heard testimonies, I hadn't seen some, but I've heard some testimonies of other pastors that wasn't loving the flock. Amen? That ain't good. But this ain't one of them churches. Hallelujah. We love you. So today, and we are continuing this year, we're going to be getting into the will of God. What is his will for our lives? The kingdom come, his way of doing things. I want it working in my life. And it ain't just something you get. You've got the Spirit of God on the inside of it, but you got to work it out. And Jim, I made that little note. I might have to dig it up a little bit. But, you know, just like Jim said, God gave Adam something to do. Work ain't a curse. Doing something's not a curse. I heard this when he started sweating. That's when it got bad. He said, you're going to curse by the sweat of your brow. See, a lot of times I sweat it when I don't know what to do. See, when Adam walked away from God and took the devil's path, Adam didn't know what to do. He lost his fellowship. God lost his son spiritually. See, God still came back for the fellowship. But now Adam knew something that he didn't know before, that he was naked. God said, I didn't tell you that. What has God said? Amen. See, Adam learned the hard way of trusting what he thought. A serpent, a talking snake, saying what God said instead of believing, waiting for his father to show up and learn some more things. He listened to a talking snake and said, has God said? Well, he should have invited the snake to the meeting. Daddy's getting ready to show up and he'll tell you, this is what Daddy says. Amen. That would have been a lot better off, right? There'd been more than one. There'd been three there. That's Adam, Eve, and the father show up. The snake wouldn't have been there. He wouldn't have showed up. Amen. He knew better. Well, Jesus is coming back, devil. But until then, he sent us. He sent the church. He filled us with his Holy Ghost and fire and power. Amen. And you shouldn't be walking in fear. You need to be walking in faith. I said to church, we need to be walking in faith. Because that's what Jesus said. When I come back, I'm coming back for a church. He said, Jesus said, I'm going to be looking for faith. Be looking for me. I'm going to get me a shirt. Lord, I'm in faith. Not only am I going to wear it, I need to be speaking it. I had something I want to do. Wayne, I need you to come back to the piano. And Kelsey or whoever's on the soundboard, when I give you a cue, I need you to, wait a minute, come back up here. I gotta go tell Rowan something privately in secret. My pastor always told me something you need to demonstrate a point, and you'll remember it. Kelsey, mute my mic because I can't do this in. I got a lot of muting going on this morning. Mutations are happening in the church. I have to cast them devils out. All right. So they'll be ready, Wayne. I won't keep you here too long, Wayne, I promise. But if you're turning in with your Bibles, with your iPad touches, they're a little bit. Yeah, there you go, Wayne. Y'all can hear him ministering, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Mark chapter 5, verse 24 through 34. Matthew, Mark, we're going to Mark. Thank you, Jesus. When you don't know what I got written down, you don't know when I messed up. Worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you all my secrets here. I shouldn't be telling you that, should I? Thank you, Lord. What I say, Mark 5, verses 24. All right, y'all there yet? All right. Y'all waiting on me. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had and was not better, but grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came from behind in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Who touched me? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude, Jesus, what you asking, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. We're going to focus on verse 28 of Mark. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, that's the King James Version, and bear with me. I want to read it to you in the Young's Literal Translation. For she said, if even his garments I may touch, I shall be saved. A little background of Young's Literal Translation is, Young's Literal Translation of the Bible was first translated in 1862 by Robert Young. That's where it's Young's Literal. He was a Scottish publisher who was self-taught. He taught himself. And he was very proficient in various ancient languages. He also compiled Young's Analytical Concordance, which I'm reading from, that verse, and Concise Critical Comments on the New Testament. Young's Literal Translation is an extremely literal. In other words, it's just like it was written. literally, it was written in the Greek. There it is. And it and attempts he attempts to preserve the tense and word uses as found in the original Greek and Hebrew. Young was especially concerned that many English translations changed the tenses of the Greek and Hebrew verbs. And he insisted on using the present tense in many places in which other translations use the past tense. So this word whole and that word saved comes from the Greek word sozo. You've been to this church, you've probably heard that word many times, sozo. It means to heal, to preserve, to do well, to make whole. This is the same Greek word found in John 3:17, which Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And that word saved comes from John 3:16. But the world through him might be healed, that the world might be preserved, that the world might be made whole through his through Jesus' sacrifice. See, therefore, this is why it's so important. Like Jim, Dr. Howard comes up here, and we just don't take up the offering and plunk it in the bucket. We find out what are we doing and where is it going and who is receiving it and who shall benefit from it. This is what the word does. It covers all those areas of your life. Amen. That's why it's important to dig into the Word of God with a good Bible concordance and find literally what was being said at the time. Many years, this is before I got into the Word and dug, for many years when I heard that Jesus came to save me from my sins, that was good that I heard that. But I didn't know what that word saved from my sins. I didn't know that Jesus came to heal me, that Jesus came to deliver me, that he came to set me free from my alcoholic dad and the demons that were binding me and messing up my life. I didn't know Jesus did all that for me. But Jesus did. That's exactly why he came. I didn't know that he came to make me free, spirit, soul, and body. But 23 years ago, me and Jesus made a connection. I said we had a connection. Amen. Now I'm going to give you a little example of a connection. Yeah, you just keep playing. We're waiting patiently. You can tell this wasn't rehearsed. Hit that mute button. Hey, hit the mute button. Oh, okay. Keep playing, but unplug it. Will it make a pop? Will it make a pop? Unplug it, but keep playing. Come on, Wayne.
What are you asking me to do?
Play, Wayne. Play. We know we want to hear that worship, Wayne. Worship, yes. Bring it on, Wayne. Come on, y'all pray for Wayne. Y'all know he can do this. He was born to minister in music. Wayne, come on. Huh? Wait a minute, Wayne. I know we love you. Now, Wayne, do it. Come on. Come on, brother. Hey, there it is. Connection. 22 years ago, me and Jesus made a faith connection. See, I'd been to church. I'd been through the motions. But I'd never been to Jesus. I had never been to Jesus. But Jesus so longed to desire to play the songs to cover, to deliver me and heal me from all the wounds and the scars and all the mess that I was in. But it takes faith to please God. I'm not talking about head faith. I'm talking about heart faith. See, Wayne's got all the gifts and talents, and we've heard it. But if he ain't connected, he's just going through the motions. Thank you, Wayne. He can sit there and play all service long. That's okay. But there has to be a connection. God has given us everything before the curse was in this earth, is in this earth. When God created this earth, don't worry, there's no shortage of food, water, or anything in this earth. I'll tell you what there's a shortage of. There's a shortage of people hungry and thirsty for God, because he is the creator. And as long as you deny him, God said, Jesus said, he's going to deny you before the Father. Everything came through Jesus. He is the Word made flesh. Everything that was spoken in the beginning, God said, and he spoke it through Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Come on, can I get an amen? God spoke the Word. Jesus is in spirit form. And when he created this earth, Jesus is speaking, the Father is speaking, and the Holy Ghost is bringing it to pass. So God has put everything in this earth for us, his creation. It was for us. But we lost the connection. We lost the music. We lost the fellowship at one time. But God, his word never changes. Because I tell you what, Father said to the Son, he knew all this was going to happen, and he had a plan. He had a long cable he's going to run from heaven and get down to us through faith. See, faith, the title of this message is, let me tell you, I want to read it exactly the way I put it. Touching Jesus changes everything. Touching Jesus changes everything. Now, for God so loved the world, God's done his part. And he put on the inside of man everything that we need to stay connected to him. But we decided, no, I think there's another way, because we listened to the lie of the devil. And what happened was we lost our connection to the Father through that lie. And there was a time that God had to send his seed. He had to send the cable. He had to send Jesus to get us connected back to the source. And that happened over 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. Amen. God came back to earth. Amen. Touching Jesus changes everything. He changed my life 23 years ago. And I ain't never been the same. And I ain't changing. Amen. I ain't changing. I'm not going back is what I'm saying. Because there's always going to be constant change in your life if you're going to come to Jesus. Amen. So, with that example, I want to talk about a faith connection. I want to talk about touching Jesus changes everything. Amen. And my God, you're going to have to give me a little more time. Are you okay? Praise God. I'm like Pastor Jim. He taught me sometimes you might need to speed up the vocabulary, but I'm not going to speed up the spirit. Because God, this is his time to minister to you. Touching Jesus changes everything. This woman went past what she knew. This woman with the issue of blood, she went past what she knew. She knew the law. She knew what Leviticus, the law of Leviticus, she had heard it preached since she was a little girl. But she didn't know she was going to have a hemorrhage and she was going to have an issue of blood. But God did. God knew what was, God knows everything that we're dealing with. Past, present, and future, everybody that's been on this earth, because he knows everything. He knows all. And this woman, she knew what the law required. Because she'd read, it wasn't in chapter and verse, but she knew it. Amen. She had the writings and she'd been to church. And if you had a flow of blood, according to Leviticus chapter 15, you were considered unclean. And if anybody touched you or touched anything you owned, you were considered unclean. Anybody think about COVID? Or you put a name on it. I don't care what it is. What's happening right now was taken care of at the cross. Yeah. Amen. Come on. She had heard this for 12 years. Unclean. Here comes unclean woman. Unclean, 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 unclean. No fellowship with us. You're unclean. You're unclean. But somebody told her about Jesus. Come on, Terry. Somebody told her about Jesus. And he was going around and doing good and healing all that were unclean. I said, what's your problem? Sick, diseased, blind, deaf, mute. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's what you need to hear big and loud. They were oppressed of the devil, and he ain't God's creation anymore. God created him, but he said, I don't want to be like this. I want to be like them, and he got kicked out of heaven. He lost his position, and he grabbed ours for a short season, but Jesus got it back. Amen. Big brother got it back. I'm talking about big brother Jesus. I got a big brother, and he protected me when I was young. I did stupid stuff, amen, and thank God for big brothers, but thank God for Jesus. Yes. Now understand, this woman, she had been bleeding for over 12 years. That is a long, super long time. A month for a woman is really, that's under the curse, but that's natural, right? 1 month for that time of the month. 12 years, ladies. 12 years. Did I mess up, Tammy? Okay, I'm looking to the women for advice here. Excuse me. She was hemorrhaging for 12 years. She had a flow of blood, this woman. And she had been to all the well-known doctors of her time, spent all her money, all her checking account, all her savings account, spent all that she had, and the Bible says not only did she not get better, she got worse. She grew worse. But she'd heard about Jesus. Somebody told her about Jesus of Nazareth that was going around doing good. And something on the inside of her rose up. Keep speaking faith, guys. Something on the inside of her rose up. And when she heard about these testimonies of her friends talking about Jesus, well, I went to this Jesus meeting, and he got my marriage put back together. Me and my husband, we're getting along fine now. Kids are even starting to act a little bit better now. All of her friends started to come by. But she's unclean. All she's heard, you're unclean. You're not worthy. But you know what? Something began to change. What was it? Faith. Faith began to rise up. She was connecting to this faith message. She was hearing that God was good and he's not the problem. That God's not the problem. He's the answer. Amen. God's not your problem. Jesus, she started hearing about this Jesus, the healer. He's a healer, man. He's healing. He's giving sight to the blind and those that are deaf. Some of them he's casting demons out. And faith began to come, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, the true word of God. This is truth. Amen. And she came to a point to where she said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired for 12 years. She was tired of that. And until you get tired of whatever you're communing with, I'm talking to the choir here, but I've got issues. We've all got issues. And we got to come to a point where, you know what? That's not from God, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. And get to where, get out of complacency and get in that position of authority and say, devil, you're defeated. And I'm going to church. And I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to take communion, and I'm going to serve him and love him all the days of my life, because he is my life and he is my source. And you're a liar and the father of it. And I don't serve you, devil. I serve God. He's my father. I've changed my position. I'm no longer a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner, but I got saved by the grace, by the power of God, and no longer. See, your uncleanness might be, well, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. No, you're not. Jesus said, you're free. You're a child of the King. You identify with Christ. Christ didn't identify. Now, he went and he fellowshiped with sinners, but he never sinned. And he walked out of there without sin. And he left hope to the sinners. He sat down and told them about how good his Father was. And he just didn't go to have a meal. Jesus wasn't just quietly eating at the sinner's house. He was telling them about the good news that my Father sent me to tell you some good news. You don't have to stay in this sin. You can get set free. You can go down to the Jordan, get baptized by my cousin, and then you can come join my meeting and follow me, and I'll show you the ways of life. I'm just paraphrasing some things that Jesus, the Bible says if the books were written, everything that he did, the libraries in this earth couldn't contain what Jesus did. We just got a small portion. But I'm ready for a meal. I'm ready for a meal. Touching Jesus changes everything if you'll touch Jesus. Will the real Jesus stand up? He stood up on a cross 2,000 years ago. We're getting ready to celebrate it here. And he said, I love you. Take your best shot, devil, because I'm going to give my life for my family, but you're not going to. Nobody took the Lord's life. He laid it down freely because he loved us. Amen. He took Adam's place. He took our place. He took our sin, and he gave us his grace in that place. In other words, we can freely even come to him. We don't have to work to receive anything from him. That sweating's over. If you're trying to receive your healing by what you've done, quit sweating it and just receive it by faith. And just keep fighting that fight of faith that I got it. And you just got to keep on it until you seeing it and you're living it. Amen. Then help somebody else. Even in your situation, be praying for somebody else. Put seed in the ground. Invest in somebody else's sickness. In other words, help carry their burden to Jesus. Don't bring the burden to you. I can't carry the burden. For many years, I loved dear Michael. He's in heaven now. One of my teachers, Sherry's brother. But he picked up, and I'm not against smokers. Y'all love me. I used to be one. But the Lord delivered me and helped me get free from that because I wanted to be free. And Michael, he had quit. And we'd go up there and he would teach. He's a good teacher. We'd sit around and we'd sharpen iron. But I noticed something in his pocket. I don't remember what it said. It don't matter what brand it was. He ain't going to talk about the brand. I'm like, Michael, what are you doing? Man, God help me out. You hadn't been smoking no more. He said, well, I know you were on your way. You're quitting. You want. He said, I picked up your burden. In other words, he started smoking because he was carrying my burden. And I didn't openly say, I thought about that. And I'm like, that just don't sound right, Miss Tammy. And I went to the Lord and I'm like, I found out Jesus is the only one that can carry your burden. You carry, you take the burden from somebody else and you give it to Jesus. That's what you do. You say, Jesus can take your burden if you'll just take it to Jesus. Amen. So I didn't receive that. And I loved him. And I stayed on him until he's in heaven. He's a non-smoker now. Come on, we all can. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be thin. I'm going to get my thin body back. Amen. I need to work on it while I'm here, though. If I got to take the word of God to the world, I need to get out and do some jogging and walk fast. Come on, I doctor on myself. I'll cut on you guys, but I'll put you back together. But somebody got to help me too. Amen. Somebody got to help the pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Touching Jesus changes everything, guys. And this woman got to a point where she said, you know what? The doctors can't help me no more. I got to go find this great physician they're talking about. And there was a moment in time. And she's not going to let anybody. She came to that time in her life. She goes, she wasn't going to let anybody or any law keep her from touching Jesus. I'm tired of hearing that I'm being unclean. I'm not unclean because somebody's telling me that Jesus says I'm not clean. He's made me clean. And she had to, by faith, find out where Jesus was having a meeting. And many years I didn't go to church, but when Jesus changed my life, I found out where church was going on. Not just every church. I wanted a good church. I found out what a good church was, Pastor Lewis. I said, I got to go see Jesus. This guy believes in Jesus. There's power being demonstrated there. He wasn't doing it. Jesus was demonstrating through him because this, the messenger, I believe in the power of God. It touched and it changed my life, and it'll touch you too if you'll give Jesus time. And she heard about that. She said, I'm going to go find a faith connection with Jehovah Rapha. She knew him as Jehovah Rapha, the healer. She'd heard about Jehovah Rapha, but then she was confused because she said, but you're unclean, you're unclean. But the word says he's my healer, but you're unclean, you're unclean. See, the law will bind you, but grace will free you. Religion will bind you, but a relationship with Jesus will set you free. Amen. Jesus came to set us free. That's your faith connection, Jesus. Man, you're talking good, Pastor, but what do I do? Faith always, say always. Always. Bible faith always receives. I don't care. God created it. His word is faith word, faith substance. And it will always bring to pass what God has created it to do. But like Jim says, there's laws of the kingdom. You got one of the laws, God says, if you want to have what I have, first of all, you got to believe I am God. I am your healer. I am your provider. I am the God that healeth thee. You got to believe that God is that. There's seven redemption names in the Old Testament, and we'll maybe study them sometime. But just focus on Jesus. If you get Jesus, you get all those other good names. He's the healer. He's your protector. He's your righteousness. He's your banner. The banner over me is love. Amen. He's my provider. That don't just count money. That's anything you need. God has provided it for you. And Bible faith always receives. Romans 10, 11, 17. How do I know? I go to the Word of God. And this is what Paul said. And Paul at one time was not meeting Jesus. He was against Jesus until Jesus touched him. Now, Jesus touched Paul pretty good. He knocked him off his horse. But I tell you what, I'd rather get knocked off a horse by Jesus than go to hell forever and be separated from God. Now, that's a good knocking. Jesus knocked him off the horse because he was headed to hell. And we got to snatch some out of hell. We got to hit them with the Word. Jesus loves you. You need to change now. Leave my church alone. Do what's right. I mean, that's a strong word, but it's for today. That was the new covenant. Paul was killing Christians, thought God was telling him to kill and persecute those. Jesus said, no, you're not. Jesus said, you're persecuting me, Paul. Actually called him Saul. But when Saul connected with Jesus, his name changed. Touching Jesus changes everything. Hey, man, you got a new name. This woman was unclean. She was unclean. But Bible faith receives. Bible faith always receives. For the scripture says, whosoever, she was a whosoever. She wasn't an unclean. That was unclean. That was a whosoever. Whosoever believes on him, the healer, the deliverer, the savior, the protector, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. See, she was ashamed to go around people because she was unclean. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That covers them all. Two families on the earth. Those that had a covenant with God and those that didn't. The lost or saved. It still covers it all. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Got to call upon Jesus. For so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be sozo, saved, healed, delivered, prospered. Whatever you need is in that name, Jesus. Well, then Romans goes on, well, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, I don't mind being called a preacher, but I like to take the P off and say, I'm a reacher. I'm reaching for people that need Jesus. I'm reaching out there, and I want to reach them with the gospel, the good news. If you give people some bad news, I mean, good news is Jesus went to hell, so you don't have to go to hell. That's good news. But you need to let people know that there's a hell out there. Without Jesus, you're headed there when you're born. We were all born into sin. Now, take in consideration a baby that's born that's just a baby of Jesus, because that baby's not going to hell. That baby hasn't had an opportunity to make a choice yet between good and evil. You understand what I'm saying? But that baby is still in sin, and without Jesus, that baby is lost in sin. But Jesus has taken our sin. Amen? He's taken our sin, but we got that free choice. When we come to that age of accountability, we got to make a choice. Do I believe Jesus or do I not? And without Jesus, you're lost. That's what the Bible says. Amen? I was lost in my trespasses and sin. But Jesus touched me and came in. Changed me from the inside out. So how shall they preach except they're sent? Thank you, Jesus, for sending me. I'm not worthy because of what I do. I'm worthy because he called me. He called me. It's the calling that makes you who you are. God has called us. He called us out of Adam and Eve. He put us in them, in the seed. We're all from God. But we're not all in the family in this cursed earth. We got to make a choice. We got separated. Amen. We got separated. But Jesus, he took that separation. He said, no longer. And he came down here and he proved the love to us when he started healing our families and preaching good news. He was preaching. Moses was the lawgiver, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The new covenant, what the law failed short in, it couldn't cleanse me of
The blood of goats couldn't save me. It had to be the blood of Jesus. And that's where Jesus made it right. He changed everything, Wayne. He changed it all. He changed the covenant. It's a new covenant now. Jesus became sin and took our place. He took our place. He became diabetes. He became a diabetic. He became full of cancer on that cross. He took sin physically in his body. And in his mind, he was tormented. But he spoke not a word. The only thing he said is finished. And he knew where he was going. He was going after the devil in hell. He was going after the keys. And he got them. And he got those keys. It cost him. He suffered so that we could be free. So that we wouldn't have to suffer all this sin, sickness, disease, and poverty that's in the earth. But don't get in condemnation if you're in something. Get in Christ and be set free. He's the healer. He's the Savior. And it's all encased in that word, Savior. So who's going to sin, Lord? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. That's what we're supposed to be preaching. Keep it simple. The gospel of peace. Jesus came down and brought peace. Mankind, peace to God forever. He settled it when he was born. God brought peace to men through Christ's birth, and he brought glad tidings of good things to come. Jesus was growing, and he was just preparing for the good thing that was going to come. But Isaiah says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Believed in the gospel is obeying the gospel. Amen. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you walk in health. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you believed Jesus? Amen. Believing is obeying the gospel. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my words. You'll keep them first place in your life. Right there. When doubt and unbelief is coming, get the word. Put the word on it. So why are so many Christians going to church and leaving in the same condition they were when they got there? God forbid in worse conditions when you leave church. My wife's not here, but I'll give one of her testimonies. I know she'd be okay if I shared it. I might not give quite the details, Pastor Jim. But I remember when she was lost and I was lost and our marriage was lost and we was on the road to lost. It gets darker and deeper, but you know what? You don't need to hear all that today. We was just lost. And she went to church, Reed. She went to church to get help. And she left worse than what she was. Because she got plenty of testimonies of how sometimes you just got to suffer. God's going to teach you something through this. He's going to work it out, but you just got to hang in there. Just got to hang on. Well, that wasn't working. That wasn't working. I had holes in our walls to prove it, that it wasn't working. Oh, I hid them. I'd take pictures and hide them. We try to put masks on. No, we just need to come to Jesus and be honest and be faithful. And you know what he'll do? He'll sup with us in the mess that we're in. And she went to church, Wayne, but things got worse. But she didn't give up. You know what she did? She come home one day, she got sick and tired of being sick and tired of this, her giving in this relationship. Now, I'm not saying she was perfect, but she was doing a whole lot better being good in a marriage than I was. And she was tired, Tammy. She was tired of raising the kids and not getting no help. She was tired of working and putting her money in. And I'm going drinking my money and go hanging out with my buddies and all this stuff. And she looked up to God and said, I am done. I'm through. And you know what God says? Thank God she finally gave up. In other words, she quit trying to do it on her own ability and looked at that Bible and God said, good. And you know what? He touched her. Jesus touched my wife in that affliction, Wayne. She felt Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is the strong arm of the Lord. She felt Jesus put a hand on her shoulder. And you know what? God said something. He said something, Jared. He said, child, I am here. That's all she'd been needing to know, Tammy, that Jesus is here. I'm here. And you know, where's my water? I sucked in a lot of air that time. I would blame it on the ladybugs, but I ain't seen them flying much. Rowan wasn't born yet, so this might all be new to him, new story. Usually the only story he hears is mom telling him how dirty his room is. This is a new story, Rowan. Where was I? God touched Sherry. She physically felt some pressure. She said it was the hand of God on her shoulder. And then he said, child, I am here. And you're like, what's he going to say next? What's he going to say next? You know what he said? He pointed, her eyes was on her mama's Bible. He said, open the book. See, open the book. See, a lot of people go around hearing all these spiritual things, but have they opened the book? Because there's a lot of goofy stuff out there that ain't God. But that day, she met Jehovah. Jehovah showed up, and he'd been wanting to all her life. But see, God operates by faith, by true Bible faith, what his word has said. And God's not a killer. And if somebody telling you God killed your baby or God killed your nephew to bring him glory, that's the devil. And God can't answer that call. I'm sorry. That's just the truth. But he heard the cry of her heart, and he manifested his power and touched my wife, and she fell in love with Jesus. Touching Jesus changes everything. And from that point on, she went to our bedroom, and she didn't ask me to come. She went in there with her Bible, with Jesus, and with the Holy Ghost, and she fell in love with Jesus. I'm telling you the truth. This is what happened in my house. And you know what, Wayne? I noticed a difference. You will know a difference when Jesus touches your life. And you know what I did? I got jealous. That's a good jealousy. I got jealous because she was spending more time with Jesus than she ever spent with me. And you know what it did? It drew me in. She caught me. God snatched me. And I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior all alone in my home because touching Jesus changes everything. He touched my wife, and when he touched my wife, he touched me. And things changed in our life. Am I saying it's perfect now? No, but it's better than it was. I didn't get worse. I got better. And it was longer than 12 years that I hadn't been serving God. And our marriage, it was longer. It was done. It was in for Terry. But Jesus never gives up. Faith never gives up. Faith never gives up because love never fails. Now, you can fail love. You can fail God, you can walk away from him, and he gives you the right to do it. To freely walk away and deny him, and he will freely deny you before the Father says, I never knew you. Don't be that person. Do not be that person because Hollywood's painted up hell like it ain't that bad. Oh, it is read the Bible, read the word. You'll find out what hell is. It's a place of torment. It's a place of brimstone and fire, and there's no love. There's no peace down there. But Jesus will bring peace in the middle of your storm. And you'll get out. Don't criticize Peter for getting out and walking on the water. Have you know anybody else that ever walked on water, spoken of? A lot of times we criticize Peter because he sank. He began to sink. But at least he got out of the water. At least he called on Jesus. He's the only one that called out and said, Lord. Man, they didn't know what it was. But he called out. And Jesus answered him, said, come, Peter. Amen. If you want to find Jesus, you got to answer his call. Won't nobody stand before God and say, I didn't know. I didn't have the chance. Yes, you did. Yes, we did. We can look out and see the sun, that beautiful sunshine, know that there's a God. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. They declare. Touching Jesus changes everything. Thank you, Father. I've totally left the notes. Amen. This is my story. This is my life story of what Jesus touched our life. And he totally changed things around. Totally changed it. To answer that question, why are so many Christians going to church and leaving in worse conditions? Isaiah just told us they've been given a false report. Somebody's falsified the documents. Come on, religion has falsified the documents. Who wants to serve a God that will kill you and beat you and destroy you? I wouldn't want to serve a God like that. Our God is a good God. When we get to heaven, you're going to see one preacher named Oral Roberts. I think that's what's inscribed in his marble in his mansion. Our God is a good God because he preached it when it wasn't popular. Because he wasn't out to win a popularity contest. He was out to please God. Amen? God is a good God, but a lot of preachers are giving their opinion about God or their bad experience and blaming it on God. Well, you know, God, that's time you might want to turn around and leave. When you hear a but, well, you know, God's allowed. If you hear that God's allowing something bad to happen, you need to, no, you don't need to leave. You need to correct that situation. Jesus didn't turn and run from the devil. He faced him head on and said, it's written. You need to find, you need to tell him what's written. Ain't that right, Pastor? We need to tell him what's written. That's a falsified document. It's been falsified. Thank you, Lord. We need to tell him. Don't give him, now give him your experience if it's a good experience. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. You don't give the bad experience. You don't give the glory. God don't get glory in the bad experience. He gets glory in the healing. He gets glory in the marriage that was put back together. That's when he gets the glory, because it's the goodness of God that brings the glory of God, the heaviness of God. Moses said, Lord, let me see your glory. And he let his goodness pass before Moses. Don't let God's goodness pass you by. Get on that glory train. Amen. Grab a hold and hang on. He'll take you to mountaintops. Amen. He'll take you to the, man, say so, you're getting ready to retire, man. You know what? You're just getting ready to go to another mountain. Amen. This is one you've been climbing. You've been climbing, you know, you think about working. We've been climbing a long time, but you're coming a time. You've reached the plateau, brother. And God says, now come up hither. Come on, say so. Come up hither. He wants to show you some stuff. Amen. Your life's just starting. It's just starting. Amen. Touching Jesus changes everything. So brothers and sisters, that's not, oh, I lost my spot. Wait a minute. In other words, if somebody gives you a bad experience for saying God's killing somebody, that's not good news. That's not the gospel. The too good to be news truths is that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. That is too good. Lord, that's too good. Jesus is a too good God. He died for me so that I could be free from my sin, sickness, and anything else that's stealing, killing, or destroying. Jesus made me whole. That's good news. It won't sell in many newspapers, but I ain't here to please people. Touching Jesus changes everything. Thank you, Father. I think I can do this, Pastor Jim. I think I can do this. And my I'm healed, but I got out in a lot of dust yesterday. I got out weed eating, slinging shrubs, so that's what you're hearing. But I'm going to preach it. I might edit it and put Reed's voice in the translation. I can do miraculous things with audio. When the truth is preached from the pulpit and from our mouths about how holy and a loving Father and the Holy Spirit is there to make sure we get what we just believe for. When you preach the truth, God, when you preach His Word, God's going to manifest. You just got to give Him some time sometimes for certain things. Because my God is a rewarder. I said He's a rewarder of those that are seeking after and trusting. It might be this tie. I didn't wear a tie in months. Trusting and putting their life on the line for this truth, for the Word. We're in a day, we got to stand up for this Word. We got to stand up and be counted worthy of the calling. Because I can guarantee you, three things are going to happen when you preach the Word. Pastor Lewis probably give me an amen before I get started. Three things are going to happen when you preach the Word. Some's going to get mad. Some's going to be sad. And some's going to be glad. I can guarantee you. Choose 30, 60, or 100-fold. Happy being glad you're going to get a 100-fold return. Because when I was in my sin and somebody told me about what adultery and stuff, you know what? That made me sad. I'm talking about when I was a sinner. But I got glad when I repented. When I took that truth and said, Lord, that's me. I repent. I turned. Then I got happy. I got glad. Because see, that's what the Word does. But we got to preach that Word. Good news is turn. Turn, turn, turn. And faith never quits and it never gives up. Never gives up, Colette. Never gives up. Faith speaks what God says. In true Bible faith, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm moved by what I believe. And that comes from the heart. So you've got to see it on the inside, see it in your spirit, man. That's the real you. And to find out who you really are, you got to find out who Jesus is. Because you came from Christ. And at one point, we just got separated. But Jesus said, I'm going back and get them. See, God's not happy. He wants a full house in heaven. And he wants to start down here. Faith never fails because love never fails. So one, to have Jesus touch you, you got to make that faith connection. You got to want to come to Jesus. You got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired of being away from Jesus. You got to come to him, make that faith connection. And if you do that, faith always receives. And there's one more thing. Once you faith receives, you got to do something. You got to release it. You got to believe it, receive it, and then you got to act on it. You got to release what you believe. Verse 28, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. She had to do something. She made a declaration, but now she had to go get Jesus and she had to touch the hem of his garment. She heard about Jesus. She made a decision to go to Jesus. You got to put your money, put your mouth, how you say that? Put your money where your mouth is. Amen. Believing that when she touched his garment, she would be made whole, sozo, because that is what she was saying within herself. She heard it, and then she heard herself say it, this is what I'm going to do. And when she made it to his healing meeting, she just walked right up to Jesus. I'll test you a little bit. No, she didn't. Now, that's her intentions, but he was crowded. I tell you what, Jesus was drawing some crowds. It was crowded, hot and sweaty on the streets of Jerusalem. Probably dirt road, a lot of dust kicked up because Jesus is walking. Jesus is healing, teaching, preaching. Good news. But this lady's unclean, unclean, unclean. But she said, I got to get to Jesus. She pressed through the crowd. She made her way through the crowd. She had a t-shirt. Jesus was wearing a t-shirt. Says, Jehovah Rapha. You know, I got the t-shirt and I'm wearing it. She was going for that t-shirt. She was going for her healing. And it said, and there was a lot of people in her way. But you know what? Faith never gives up. Faith goes. It gets out of the boat of unbelief and it goes to Jesus. And she said, I got to get to Jesus. Get out of my way. She was known in that town. It might have opened up pretty good for her. Here comes that unclean woman. Get out of her way. Get out of her way. But she still had to press. And she made it to Jesus. Read. She made it to Jesus. Faith has got to be released. And she did it by going to Jesus. She pressed her way. And we know she got what she came for. Because everything Jesus said is true. It says she felt in her body and then Jesus felt something in his body. She received and Jesus felt something leave. You know, when I left my mother and father to marry my wife, I left and I claved. Leave and cleave. Amen. She went to Jesus and something left and she got what she came for, Tammy. She got it. Jesus also knew that somebody had touched him. Touching Jesus changes everything. She touched him and made a withdrawal. You can make a withdrawal on the power of God, Jack. You can make a withdrawal of it. There's no limit, Cecil. There's no limit. Write what you demand for the Lord. The blood of Jesus makes you worthy to make a withdrawal. Quick little story, and we're coming to a close here. This is one of my stories. When I got born again, I didn't automatically get filled with the, now I got delivered. I got delivered by the power of God, but I didn't immediately speak in tongues. Why? I never heard nothing about speaking in tongues. I mean, you speak in tongues to me, I don't know what you're talking about. But I heard about Jesus, and I heard about some people that would tell me about being filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm like, what's this? I got my curiosity up. I started hearing Jim Howard and Bob Cohan preach on the radio. And Andrew Womack talking about not having headaches anymore because he uses the power of the word. All this is new to me. But I heard about Jesus. I started operating by my faith, speaking to headaches, and they were leaving. And then I started hearing about this Holy Ghost, Day of Pentecost. Didn't ever hear about that. But I heard. And I tried to receive some people that led us to the Lord, but they was adding too much stuff to it, and I didn't receive. Why? Because God's faithful to his word, not to somebody's opinion of how they received. Now, he'll meet you. God wants to bless you, but he works by laws, the law of faith. But I heard a man, I heard Andrew, I heard Jim, I heard Bob Cohan, and I said, Andrew was coming to Charlotte, North Carolina, all the way from Colorado Springs. And you know what I did? I cleared my calendar. I said, I'm going. And I told my wife, I said, we going. And when we get down there with all of our three kids at the time, two or three kids, I said, I'm going to be baptized and I'm going to speak in tongues when Andrew lays his hands on me. Why? That's where I set my faith. That's where I believed. I believed in Andrew. I believed his word. And I said, I'm going to get it. I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to beg and plead and for this baptism and speak in tongues. And you know what? I got what I went for. That was back when they had the old tent meetings and there was hay on the ground. I didn't care about no hay. I'm going after Jesus. And I want this baptism. I need this power in my life. The power that delivered me from demons. And I needed to grow, and I needed it. I needed it, everything that Jesus had. And when Andrew laid his hands on me, I hit the hay. I know what Jesus felt like in the manger. And I spoke in tongues as soon as he touched me. Why? God was faithful to his word. Jesus baptized me in the Holy Ghost because the messenger with the note believed in the word of God. And he was brought up Baptist. It took Andrew 2.5 years to get rid of his doctrine. But not me. I didn't have a lot of doctrine. I was just a sinner. I didn't have a lot of religion in there. So God didn't have to take a lot out. But I tell you what, you gotta work to keep it out. Because the devil, you give him an inch, he'll become your ruler. If you give him an inch. Don't give him an inch. Shut him out. So I got baptized and I spoke in tongues and been speaking in tongues more than you all. That's what Paul said. Speaking in tongues is not the blessing. Jesus is the blessing. Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost inspires you. And it is needed. It is given and you need it. You can get to heaven, but I tell you what, life will be a whole lot better down here because you'll be able to do a whole lot more in the kingdom because you need the power. I just don't want to come to church and hear Wayne. I know what he can do, but I want to hear the whole package. I want him plugged in. I want to be connected. And that's what the Holy Ghost will do. He'll give you that ability to flow in the Holy Ghost to gifts and let God flow through you. You become a channel. What? It's not about you. It's about being a blessing to others. To let the Holy Ghost move through you. Touching Jesus changes everything. Wayne's going to come up and play a selection that I asked from him probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Because, see, the Lord put this in my heart about touching Jesus. I just didn't have all the details yet. It was on the burner. It was on the back burner. But today it became the Powerball. Bring it to the front. And you know, you got some of those burners that's got, they ain't got just one ring. They got three. Come on. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You want all of God? You want all God has? If you got born again, you've got it. You got it on the inside, but you're saying, Lord, I want to see it on the outside. Well, you know what you got to do? You got to turn up the heat. You control how much God flows in your life. That burner can sit there on that stove and you can have a big old pot of stew and you're ready to eat it and it's cold. It's been sitting there in the refrigerator. You can sit on the stove and you can pray all you want for that thing to get hot enough to eat. But until you turn the burner on, it's just going to be a cold pot of stew. I tell you what, till you let Jesus baptize, you're just a cold Christian. But he loves cold Christians, but he wants to turn on the heat. That's what the baptism does. It turns up the power. It brings the power in your life to change your life. Touching Jesus changes everything. He changes everything. Wayne's going to sing. You going to sing this song? You going to play it? I know by faith. If he says he's going to sing it, he's going to sing it. If you need something from Jesus today, don't leave here. I'm up here to pray with you. But he wants to touch you today. If you'll let him, if you'll be open up to him. Whatever you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, he can do that. You need your finances, taken care of. He done that too. But you got to give him. You got to give him some place. You got to give him the time. And you got to let him touch you. Thank you, Jesus.
Shackled,
if you need prayer, come up here.
By a heavy burden, need the load of guilt and pain. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. And made me whole. I will never cease to praise him. And now, while eternity rolls, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
As Wayne continues to minister in music, there's four people that came down here believing Jesus for a touch. And I'm not saying that there might be other you guys sitting out there believing Jesus for a touch too. It don't have to happen on the front pew. Just let it happen. I said, let it happen. I'm going to anoint them with oil. And we believe, you know what? Jesus is going to touch them. I said, he's going to touch them. I don't know what he's going to do, but it's going to be good. Amen. He's going to touch you, Jack. He's going to touch you, Sharon, Judy, Teresa. And I can guarantee you one thing. Your life will never be the same.
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10, 8 through 10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.